I'm proud of the American people this week. We saw the greatness of an American election tradition, and we saw it come through. We saw vigorous campaigning, a lot and a long set of vigorous campaigning, and then a gracious conclusion once the people spoke. And to see a country come together and to see the loser so gracious and the winner so gracious is just a great tribute to the American democracy. I'm proud. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ made an amazing claim. He said, "Those who hear these words of mine, in which our Lord claimed to be the fulfillment of the law, are wise. If they hear these words and do them, they're wise. They're building their house on a rock. Those who hear these words of mine and don't do them are foolish. They're building their house on sand." That's the way our Lord ends the Sermon on the Mount. And then he says that when storms come, the house built on rock stands. When storms come, the house built on sand falls. The people were amazed. Matthew makes the comment that when the people heard the Sermon on the Mount, they were amazed. He did not teach like the rabbis, like the scribes they were used to. He spoke with authority. But did you hear that sentence? Those who hear these words and do them. There's a gap between hear and do. I want to talk about that today. The gap. There is a lag time. Our Lord preserves it in the way he ends the Sermon on the Mount. Those who hear my words and do them. That's the foolish. That's the wise. That's the foolish man that hears and doesn't do. So there's a period of time between hearing and doing. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, our Lord actually tells a parable. On the Monday of Holy Week, Matthew records it for us in the 21st chapter. He tells a parable on the Monday of Holy Week, right after Palm Sunday, when great crowds honored Christ. That honor itself bothered Pharisees because they sang the Hillel to Jesus. The Hillel, Psalms 113 and 118, are the most messianic part of the book of Psalms. The stone that the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. They said the word Hosanna, Lord help us. And the Pharisees said, you should tell your disciples to be quiet. They shouldn't sing this. And Jesus said, if they don't sing, the very rocks would cry out. On the Monday after that, Jesus came into the temple area, spoke in the court of the women. That's where he always taught so that Greeks could listen to him, women could listen to him, as well as men. And he told them a parable. Here's the parable. It's one of the shortest of the parables of Jesus. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And the son said, I will not. But afterward he repented. The word means literally to change around, turn around. And he went. And then he went to the second son and said the same, son, go work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I go, sir. By the way, the word sir is the word for Lord. He didn't say dad. He said, sir. He is treating his father like Lord. I go, Lord, sir. But he did not go. That's the end of the parable. This is a very short parable. Sometimes our Lord ends a parable and says nothing after the parable at all. Sometimes he will interpret the parable. That's rarer. Sometimes he will ask a question of the listeners. They will answer, and then he'll make a comment. That's what happens in this parable. Jesus, at the end of the parable, says, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they answered the first. They got the right answer. And then Jesus spoke to them. This next set of sentences tend to be very salty. And yet, listen closely, there is still hope in these sentences. Then Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you. The tax collectors and the harlots, that's the salty part, go into the kingdom of God. Now, I have to point out something. When he mentioned vineyard in the parable, every Jewish listener would know that vineyard in the Old Testament refers to the kingdom of God. It refers to God's people as God's kingdom people. Isaiah 5. The people of God are described as the vineyard. You saw it in the Psalm 107 that was read today as well. And so they would know that refers to the kingdom of God and to the Jewish people as God's kingdom people. In fact, Josephus tells us that on the temple that Herod had built, there was carved in bas relief at a human size, a huge grapevine and grapes to symbolize the people of God. So when he said vineyard, they would think of that. And now he interprets it that way. He says, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness. That's our Lord's interpretation of John's ministry. And you did not believe him. Three times now he's going to repeat the word believe. You did not trust him, believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him, trusted him. And even when you saw it, is he referring to Palm Sunday? We don't know. You did not afterward repent and believe him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, teach us from this parable. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a parable about lag time, for sure, between hear and do. It's our Lord himself teaching on that very thing. Let's take a look at the parable, first of all. What makes this short story work is that it's a two-story. Two stories are told side by side. Some of the greatest parables are two stories told side by side. The most famous of all is the parable of the prodigal son and the elder brother. So here you have a two-story parable. What makes it work as a story is that each boy is flawed. Each boy has a fault. It makes the story work. Think of the first boy. The first boy too quickly opposes his father's will, as if the father's will was against him. This boy is impudent and defiant. The father says, okay, we're setting out the work today, you know, for the vineyard, the family vineyard. It helps us keep alive. Son, I'd like you to work in that vineyard. He said, I will not. He's impudent. He's defiant. Later on, he changes his mind and goes to the vineyard. But how would I describe this boy? I would say this boy is a big problem at breakfast. But he is a joy at supper. Okay, hold that thought. But at breakfast, this kid upsets the whole family. Do you have anybody in your family like this? Are you like this? At first glance, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And so his mother, who is trying to cook breakfast, is upset. She starts to cry. The other sisters, they cry. And the father, it upsets everyone. He churns the family up. He's a big problem at breakfast. But later on at supper, it's a different story. The second son, and by the way, in all of the two-story parables of our Lord, the second half of the story is always more complicated than the first. You'll notice that. The elder son part of the story is more complicated than the prodigal. The second son enthusiastically says yes to his father's request. That's how our Lord implies by just, I go, sir. He didn't have to say sir. He didn't have to say Lord. He could have said, okay, Father, I go. But this boy is totally enthusiastic. The father says, okay, after the first son, all right, son, would you go work in the vineyard? I know as a parent of the second and third children, you tend to be a little milder as your children come along, and you don't make the requests in the same way, maybe. I don't know. But the father says, would you go work in the vineyard? This boy, notice what he says. He kind of pours it on. He says, I'm awfully glad you suggested that, Dad. I was thinking this morning during quiet time. He's probably very religious. I can't wait to go in the vineyard, unlike others in this family. He may be a little judgmental too. I know it's the college fund that we're working on in the vineyard. I can't wait to go. Thank you, Dad. Mom, put on a steak for me because I'm going to get up a real sweat today. I love work. I mean, that's my interpretation of I go, sir. But for whatever reasons, and notice, our Lord shows no interest in the reasons. That's interesting. For whatever reason, he doesn't go. I would describe this boy this way. He is a joy at breakfast. Give him credit for that. He did cheer up the family at breakfast. The first boy churned up the family. The second boy cheered up the family. Everybody, there's my son. What a fine boy. Thank you. What a neat boy. You're an inspiration at breakfast. It's a different story at supper. He's a big problem at supper. And unfortunately for him, this is a supper parable, not a breakfast parable. Well, what does the parable teach? I want to make three reflections on this parable. First of all, the parable shows that Jesus Christ really understands human beings. In fact, that could be said of all the parables of our Lord. They are psychologically accurate. Many scholars have noticed this about the parables of Jesus. They're psychologically accurate. Jesus shows in this parable that he is aware and expects sharp negative reactions to his kingly claim. When he says, those who hear these words of mine and do them are wise, he knows that some people would say, wow, I'm not sure I want to hear your words. And the kingly claim of Christ, which is the kingdom claim of our Lord, he knows that it will stir up negative reactions. Notice, it doesn't bother him in the parable. That struggle that this first boy has doesn't seem to offend him. The father is not portrayed as being terribly upset. He just stands there. So notice that Jesus points out that the father is not fragile. It's very interesting. You don't have a God that's so easily offended that he then turns to rage. No. Jesus shows in this parable that he expects that. Also in the parable, he shows that he expects that some people will too quickly and too eagerly show compliance. Are they being evasive intentionally? Notice, our Lord does not describe or explain. Or did they only half think their tremendously enthusiastic response? We don't know. But for whatever reason, the second son does not, that's why it's more complicated, the second son does not go in the vineyard. He may later. By the way, no story is ever finished. Thank God for that. Do you have that kind of person in your family? Are you that kind of person? Is this parable for you, one way or the other? Notice that all the parables of our Lord have a way of catching us off guard. Now, the second reflection I'd like to make is that this parable helps us understand the freedom journey that our Lord preserves between hearing and doing. He preserves it. The parable's clear. There is a period of time between hearing the will of God and doing it. There's a period of time between hearing of your weaknesses and your sins and repenting. Notice, he picks that up. He said, John the Baptist came to you. The harlots and the tax collectors repented. You didn't. There is a period of time between when you hear a truth and about yourself and when you actually do something about that truth about yourself, that repentance. C.S. Lewis reflected on this in Screwtape Letters. There's an amazing chapter, you know, in Screwtape Letters, you have to reverse everything because Screwtape is a senior devil writing to a junior devil. So you have to, when he refers to the enemy, he means God. When he refers to our father below, he means the devil. So keep that in mind. But in chapter 13, the patient who Screwtape is concerned about, giving advice to a junior tempter about, has repented. He has almost gone bad, gone toward the father below, and gone away from his faith. And then he suddenly swung back and came back to the faith. And it bothers Screwtape. Screwtape is very upset with Wormwood being a second-rate tempter that he failed to hold on to this patient. So then, listen what he says at the end of the 13th chapter. It remains to consider how we can retrieve this disaster. The great thing is to prevent his doing anything. As long as he does not convert it into action, it does not matter how much he thinks about this new repentance, referring to this patient. Let the little brute wallow in it. And here's an inside joke Lewis puts in. Let him, if he has any bent that way, write a book about it. After all, Lewis wrote all these books about the Christian faith. Let him write a book about it. That is often an excellent way of sterilizing the seeds which the enemy, that would be God, plants in a human soul. Let him do anything but act on it. No amount of piety in the imagination and affections will harm us, Screwtape says, if we can keep it out of his will. As one of the humans said, and here he's quoting G.K. Chesterton, as one of the humans said, active habits are strengthened by repetition, but passive ones are weakened. The more often he feels without acting, the less he will ever be able to act, and in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. There is a gap. There is a lag time between hearing and doing, hearing and repenting, hearing and actually making a move in which I put my weight down and trust in God's faithfulness and trust in his truth. Lewis saw that. Our Lord preserves that. Two, there's also lag time between hearing of God's love and of God's grace. That great fact, which is really what the vineyard is all about, and being assured of it so that I could actually work in the vineyard and eat the food that's in the vineyard. I've been a pastor a long time, and I know that's true. I meet people all the time that tell me they know in theory about God's love. They know in theory about God's faithfulness, but it's not really a part of their experience. Wow, because it's a lag time. There's a lag time between hearing and experiencing God's love even. Think of the most beautiful verse, some people think, the most beautiful verse in the New Testament. Maybe this verse in the book of Revelation, where our Lord speaks to the Laodicean church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." It's a tremendous promise of grace. But did you hear the lag time in it? Listen, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears," notice hears, just like in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, "and opens the door, I will come in." Notice what our Lord doesn't say in the book of Revelation. He doesn't say this, "Get ready, I'm coming through, whether you like it or not." He doesn't do it. He doesn't crash into your life. He doesn't take away your freedom. He doesn't say that. He says, "I knock. If you hear the knock and open the door, I will come in." There's a lag time. Karl Barth, in explaining the theology of the Holy Spirit, put it this way, and I love it. He said, "You know that you're assured of the Holy Spirit when you're able to say that God's love is not only a general truth," which it is. God's love is a truth. By the way, it's a truth whether you feel it or not. It's there whether you know it or not. But Barth then goes on to say, when God's love is not just a general truth, but you're able to say, now here, get ready for this. I love this line from Barth. He says, "But it's also for me." It's also for me. It's the Holy Spirit who has assured you of that. The Holy Spirit who's closed that gap so that I know it's also for me. Do you know that? That is the assurance of salvation. That's the assurance of God's love in your life. But there is a lag time between knowing the truth, knowing the love, and trusting it. Now, finally, my last reflection. This parable shows that the lag time in the long run favors the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself preserves it, so he's not worried about it. He's so sure of himself that he's willing to take time with you, so that the time that it takes, he's willing to take with you. I've said that to parents. You know, the story's not over. The key to parenting is knowing how to stay close and step back. And sometimes you have to step back in a person's life and let a person have their own journey. And you have to sometimes just pray and try to be a reference point, but you can't barge in. You have to let them have their own journey. Jesus Christ did it. He set the stage for us. Because his truth, his faithfulness, his grace wears well into the afternoon. I love this. In the afternoon, the boy came. I put it this way. It is better to finally believe what at first I could not say than to say at first what I do not believe. We should never encourage people to say things they don't believe. And that is that's not a good game. It's better to finally believe what at first I could not say than to say at first what I don't believe. The Christian faith has integrity written all over it and all over this laptop. When I became a Christian, when I was a student at UC Berkeley, I later reflected back on that windy place where I became a Christian. And I wrote a poem called Such a Windy Place. I'll read it to you. This sort of was my attempt, by the way, my people at UPC make jokes about me that Earl Palmer writes poems at the drop of a hat. Well, this is one of my poems I wrote at the drop of a hat. I called it Such a Windy Place. Such a windy place to find the water and food that will last and give me time, while dust and leaves, ideas and words blow constantly in my face. How can I pause and think, wonder and ask, decide and do in such a windy place? It takes a good shepherd with skill and will, who loves his sheep on a thousand hills, while we pause and think, wonder and ask, decide and do in such a windy place. I think our Lord's parable is about that windy place. He's so sure of himself, he's willing to shepherd you through that windy place so that you can come from here to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for this parable, for the joy of it, the wonder of it, that you're so sure of yourself, that the first son and his negative, even impudent response doesn't bother you. You're able to roll with it because the truth wins out over the long haul. Thank you for that. Your love wins out over the long haul. Thank you for that. May we experience it, each one of us in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.